marvelous chapter with a lot of truth in it that is just wonderful. This is entitled Israel's Deliverance. Is a short title. It corresponds with the book of Ezekiel. And in this chapter, Isaiah is telling us of the worship and the testimony of the restored remnant of Israel after the 7 years. Some of it kind of blends in with what they go through during the 7 years. As we said, it corresponds with Ezekiel, and in the book of Ezekiel, we read of the dry bones that are resurrected. Well, that's what we're going to have in this chapter too. Restored Israel. They're going to come from the dead. What a day that's going to be. Praise the Lord. All right, we'll read the first 6 verses in the King James, and then I want to read it in this other one. It's a good, I like it. That's why I put it in my notes. This other translation is wonderful. Thank the Lord. In that day, and then when you read in that day, it's always future, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will appoint for walls and bulwarks. Notice who appoints it. Salvation is nothing natural. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Notice it's just one nation. Not nations, but one nation. That's Israel. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah, and what a verse, in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. Notice he does it. It's the Lord Jehovah. We'll get into that. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. I love Isaiah's beautiful, beautiful way he expresses what the Lord is doing and is going to do. It's marvelous to me. All right, in this other translation, it says, then in that day this song shall be sung in the country of Judah. Strong is our city, its walls and its bulwarks. Salvation, the Jehovah's salvation. Fling open the gates that a nation, all righteous, the people that keepeth the truth, may go in. Thou keepest in peace, yea, a peace that is perfect. Oh, I love it. The mind of the one leaning hard upon thee, for in thee he confideth. Trust in Jehovah forever and aye, for in Jah our Jehovah is strength everlasting. And lo hath he hurled the dwellers on high. Lo hath abased the proud city exalted. E'en to the ground hath Jehovah abased it, cast it down, yea, to the dust heap. Lo, neath the foot of the traveler 'tis trodden, neath the feet of the lowly the tread of the poor. What a portion. We note 2 cities now in these verses. The one is this strong city he speaks of in the first verse. And the other, in the 5th verse, is the lofty city. The one speaking of the one that God builds, which will be the Jerusalem, the center of the world in this future day. And the other is, of course, this proud city, the lofty city. And it's called Tohu in chapter 25:3. It's a city of confusion. And this is what man is building today. And the more he tries to build this city, the more confused that it becomes. This strong city, it's not the walls made of huge stone that he's talking of, material walls, but it's Jehovah's salvation. Praise the Lord. That's the wall that's going to make this city strong. And as we said, this is the millennial day when Jesus is going to reign in righteousness and truth. And notice that it's called here, it's in the land of Judah, because Judah at that time, this will be the center of the power of the nation Israel, will be in Judah. And of course, Judah means what? Does Judah mean praise? Yes. Never forget that. I mean, Judah was the one who led the children of Israel when they went through the wilderness. They were the first tribe that, as they marched those 40 years, so praise goes first. Enter his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Amen. So they went first. And that's what gives victory. I'll never forget dear Brother Yost at a tabernacle. Talk about praise. He sat up here on the front row, and oh my, he'd lead the congregation in praise. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. All right. The second verse, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth its truth may enter in. This righteous nation, of course, is going to be repentant Israel. And righteousness is the only ground for entrance into this city. Let's go over and read Psalms 118, 19 and 20. Psalms 118. We have some wonderful verses tonight, isn't it? Praise the Lord. 118, 19 and 20. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in to them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Notice again, it's the righteous that are going to enter into this gate. Then let's go to the 24th Psalm. This is a psalm I gave lessons in the Psalms many years ago, and this is a psalm I have remembered. It's a marvelous psalm. All right, Psalms 24, verses 7 through 10. We'll just read this. All of it is wonderful, but this is what we are pertaining to tonight. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. This is what I love to do when we sing. Lift up our head. Sing unto the Lord. You know, it's wonderful to lift up our head to the Lord. We're something special to him. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. This everlasting in the margin is ancient doors. And the King of glory shall come in, and he will. In the book of Ezekiel, we read that when he comes down from the glory and enters that city of Jerusalem, he's going to enter through the east gate. That gate is shut today. And that gate is going to be opened when the King of glory comes down into that earthly city of Jerusalem. And he will come down, but that eastern gate is going to be opened then. And the King of glory is going to enter into it. Who is this King of glory? It's the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory, I love that, the King of glory. Notice how many times it's mentioned. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. How many times? Five times? The King of glory? No, six times. One, two, three, four, five. Well, five or six times. The King of glory is going to come in. And Selah always means meditate upon this. He's coming down. It's this one who has sat up there for almost 2,000 years now, has waited to come down out of the glory. He's been very patient with man for almost over 6,000 years now, and he wants to claim his inheritance. He suffered a lot, and he gave a lot for his inheritance, and he has a right to it. In Psalms 37:29, we read, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. And notice in our lesson, this is a nation that keepeth the truth. Keepeth, it guardeth the truth. Of course, we know who the truth is. And all of these expressions are marvelous. The third verse, thou wilt keep him. And notice the individuality of this verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. My margin says, a steadfast mind or imagination thou keepest in perfect peace, because it trusteth in thee. Now this verse not only applies to that believing remnant that's going to be coming on the scene, and perhaps even today is on the scene, but it speaks to any individual who puts his trust in the Lord. Whatever dispensation that man has lived in, he can claim this verse, and he has over the years. This peace that we possess is not the outcome of self-determination, but it's ministered to us by the Holy Spirit, something that we do not have in ourselves, but it's something that the Holy Spirit gives us. Notice it's perfect peace. It means peace upon peace, or peaceful peace. peace, peaceful peace. Made me think of what Glenn was bringing out Sunday about faith. It's, faith is like layers, and I, that scripture we read, we go from faith to faith. The righteousness of God is revealed, faith upon faith. It's in Romans. I can't tell you right where it is right now. But this is the same with peace. It's peace upon peace. The older we grow in the Lord, the greater peace we have. When we first accept the Lord as our Savior, in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ. And then this peace is layered, then we go on. And I want to read about this peace. Let's go over to John 14. We can't get it out in the world. You just will not look for it out there. John 14:27. Aren't these things wonderful and real to our hearts? Oh, they just, I read it and it just brings such glory into my heart and my life, especially when we experience these things and go through trials. I'll just insert this here. I don't know if it was Bill's first or second heart attack that he had. We were in the Santa Fe Hospital. I think it was the first one. And we had a neighbor who was a Catholic, and she was up there at St. Francis, and lo and behold, here she comes in the room. She quoted this verse. Oh, praise the Lord. She knows where this peace comes from. But that's when this peace is you have it. And I love that old song, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit in billows of love. It's a wonderful old song. Well, let's read this verse. Peace I leave with you, and this is the Romans 5:1 peace. And my peace, this is the Philippians 4:7 peace, I give unto you. This is as we go in the Lord. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Or don't be timid in the things of God. That's what that means. Don't be timid. Lay hold of these things. They're for us. We can, each one of us can have these wonderful truths. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Philippians 4:7 and read this wonderful scripture about this peace that the Lord makes so real in our lives. It cannot be... that song that we mentioned, that nothing can mine this peace out of our hearts. It's a wonderful thing. Let's read the sixth verse with it. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard. It's like a garrison he puts around our heart. Keep is guard with a garrison. That word keep means your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And then over to Ephesians, the second chapter, we read again about the peace of God. And who is this peace? Ephesians 2, and let's read the 13th and 14th verses. We'll have to read the 15th too. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he himself, this is what the original reads, he himself is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh. That word abolished means put out of business. He's put out of the business of the flesh, in the flesh, the enmity that was there. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Isn't that wonderful? He himself is our peace. Praise the Lord, the Prince of Peace. Thank the Lord. All right, now notice in this verse, who does this? In Isaiah 26:3. It's thou will keep him in perfect peace. This peace is deep and it's constant and it abides within. And as we said, the heart and the mind are guarded by God. God does this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. whose mind is stayed. And as this other rendition says, it's the mind of one leaning hard upon thee. And that's what the meaning of this is in this word stayed, means to lean hard or to be firmly established in the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we're firmly established and the roots go down, they're there, rooted and grounded, you know, I think it's Ephesians, rooted and grounded in Him. Praise the Lord. All right. Then it's as this fourth verse is like a cry that just comes forth from Isaiah. And he says, trust ye in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord Jehovah. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, or a rock of ages. Not only a rock for this age, but he's a rock for every age. In another rendition, is trust is hang confidently on Jehovah forever. Hang on him. I think of that nail. We hang on that nail, you know. Praise the Lord, we can. Isn't it wonderful? And notice, is Jah Jehovah is everlasting. He's an everlasting rock. This is the proper name of God the Redeemer. This speaks of Jesus himself. He is the Redeemer. He's the I Am, Exodus 3:14. In Hebrews 13:8, he's the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. And the union of these two proper nouns, Jah and Jehovah, they express in the highest degree God's unchanging love and power. It's unchanging. We can always, he's always there. He never changes. We may change, but he never does. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 32. I think we had this in previous. This is, I believe it's mentioned over in another chapter that we had, but let's go to Deuteronomy 32:4. Praise the Lord. Don't these words just thrill, these scriptures thrill your heart? Oh, praise the Lord. As we mentioned a while back about the world is building on the sand and listening to news, it's BBC news, and when you hear of every nation in the world, they shot the leader of one of these nations just yesterday, I think it was. These nations are being overturned. They're just, it's built on the sand. It's all going to collapse one of these days. All right, 32:4, Deuteronomy. He is the rock. His work is perfect or complete. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Then let's go to Psalm 68:4. Any thoughts or comments now on this as we go through it, or questions, bring them in. Scripture just comes to my mind that he counts the things that be not as though they were. That's faith. Well, these things that we're studying about tonight are the things that are not yet, but it's as though they're already here in his purposes, because they're coming. Psalm 68 and the fourth verse. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. Can't you just see him up there riding upon the heavens? When we get into some of these chapters in Isaiah that are before us, we're going to read about his wonderful creation and the power that in which he threw all this into being. All right, he's the everlasting strength, or the rock of ages. Isn't that wonderful? He's already proved this to many of his people down through the ages. And he's proved it by breaking those that would attack the faithful. He surrounds the faithful. But he has power. And he breaks that those who would come against his own. He's proved this over and over. All through the Old Testament we can read of this. All right, let's notice the fifth and sixth verses now. Notice who does it. It is Jah Jehovah who bringeth down. First he bringeth down, then dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust, the one that has the power to, like this earthquake that just happened. There's going to be a lot of them. We're just beginning to see these increase. There will be more of them. This is a lofty city, the city of distraction, and it represents all the cruel and proud persecutors of Israel who have sought to destroy her. And I'm sad to say that this nation's one of them. They're trying to take away and take away from her, even the city that God has given to her. This sixth verse, when he speaks about the foot that's going to tread it down, and this is the feet of the poor, and then the steps of the needy, these are the feet of the remnant that the Lord's going to make strong. Let's go to Zechariah 12 and read. The Lord's going to make this remnant of Israel like a mighty, give them mighty strength that they don't realize they have. We're going to read it now, and we may read it again. I've got it. Zechariah 12, the 12th chapter, Zechariah 12, and the 6th verse. Again, in that day, I like that, in that day, that's going to be a wonderful day. All right, do we have it? In that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. What a description. And they shall devour all the people round about. This is this little remnant now. They shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. Why would he do this? It's because Jesus Christ came from Judah. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he wants his son to reign. And he doesn't want any glory taken away from his son, even today. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. That's a wonderful, wonderful scriptures there. Thank the Lord. All right. Are we ready to go on? All right. Each verse is rich, I'll tell you. The seventh verse, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. The margin says, dost make level the path of the just. Notice the word uprightness. It's literally uprightnesses, plural, the uprightnesses. And it indicates that this level path is made up step after step after step. Every righteous step that we take, the Lord makes the path level before us. He leads us in a plain path. The mountains he brings low. The obstacles, he enables us to jump over them on the race course. We take one step at a time, and as we do the next step, the Lord lights that pathway and it becomes clearer. We can't see the end of it, but we do a step at a time. And let's read some scriptures on that. Let's go to Psalm 37:23. We may have quoted this one already. It's one of my favorite scriptures. 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And the margin of this reads, a man's goings are ordered of the Lord. I like this. The good man, of course, is the new man. The order of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Isn't that a wonderful verse? All right, let's go to Proverbs 12:28. Proverbs has some wonderful scriptures in that. 12:28 of Proverbs. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Walk with the Lord, in other words. Let's go back to Proverbs 5:21. There's many in this book. Think upon these scriptures as we read them, and think of man that's wandering around the world today. We sing a song in the grace and glory about man. They don't know where they're going. They're just going hither. We know where we're going, but natural man, he's just going to be going. The 21st verse of Proverbs 5, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. And this is pondering, is maketh level or weigheth carefully. again that harmonizes with this verse. He maketh level or weigheth carefully all our going. Isn't that wonderful to have him do that for us? Thank the Lord. Isaiah 30:21. Let's look at it. This is all regarding Israel, how the Lord is going to take care of her. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. In other words, the Lord will direct the path of this remnant as he directs our path. He tells us, this is the way, walk ye in it. And he wants us to do that, the way that he has ordained for us to walk in. Praise the Lord. All right. The seventh verse again, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright one. It should be that. Thou most upright one is in fellowship with the upright. The one who is God himself is in fellowship with the upright. Because he has imparted unto us his righteousness. This verse harmonizes with Revelation 19, where the bridal saint there, let's go over there and read that, Revelation 19, her bridal garment he's talking about over here. Yes, this is her bridal garment. The wife has made herself ready in the seventh verse. The eighth verse, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, which speaks of righteousness, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of saints, or the righteousnesses, again, it could be plural of saints. This is when God's righteousness is imparted to us. As we walk day by day with him, he gives us more of his righteousness, and we have on this breastplate of righteousness. It's there for us to take it, take this whole armor of God. It's there for us. Praise the Lord. Oh, how wonderful to lay hold of these scriptures. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Aren't we glad for this word? Sometimes I just sit and eat it. That's what we do. We eat the word. All right. Verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. I'm going to read down a ways here. Within my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. This is a millennial theme. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness? Isn't it being showed to the wicked today? We read in Lamentations that his mercies are new every morning. And if it wasn't for his mercies, man would be consumed. Man doesn't realize this. That's Lamentations 3. But they're living here, and they're alive on this earth. And, well, they're dead, really, as far as God's concerned. But they're on this earth because of his mercy. It's the only reason man is here. But he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly. And they will during the millennium, some of them. And will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. They're blind. You say, blind as bats. But they shall see and shall be ashamed for their zeal. The word envy is zeal at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Quite a portion there. Amen. This again tells us of the remnant. They have learned to wait for the judgment of God and for their deliverance. Think we could, if we can just picture and put ourselves in spirit in the day when this remnant is going to be there in Jerusalem, and the Antichrist and all the nations are going to come against that land, and this little remnant is going to be there waiting, just waiting for the deliverance from the Lord. And then their desire, as we read here in verse 8, the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. We read there in Zechariah that when they see him, they're going to look upon him. They're going to know who he is. They long for him, but when he comes out of the glory and he shows himself to this little people, and then he delivers and slays all the armies that are around there. Oh my, what a day. That's going to be a marvelous day. Praise the Lord. And we know today that God's people who discern his counsel and his purposes await his time. We wait on the Lord. We let him work in his will and his time. Our desire is not just deliverance. That isn't what we desire. But we desire for God's name to be magnified and his name honored. This is why he leaves us in a trial many times, for us to learn this lesson. That we learn not to get out of the trial. And I think that we had Sunday, those three, we call them Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. What faith they were there that God delivered them. And this is the way with us. The desire of our soul, this ninth verse is precious. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. And this, of course, is going to be in the night of their affliction, in the night of tribulation. And they longed for this, to be delivered with my spirit. Know that the soul and the spirit both here enter into this. With my spirit within me will I seek thee early. It's the spirit God deals with. I'll seek thee early. And this speaks of earnest. You seek thee earnestly with a whole heart. Haven't we found in times of need, where do we turn when we get into a real trial? Right away, oh Lord, deliver me from this trial. Well, he's got us in the trial for us to learn something. He wants us to lean harder upon him, to trust him, to know that he is there. We think we've got to help ourselves. We've got to get out of this, or somebody else to help me. And that's not the way the Lord wants it. The Lord wants us to look unto him. He is our salvation. Praise the Lord. And we read in that verse that they longed for the morning. They wanted, in the original, that ninth verse says, for thee my soul thirsteth in the night of my sorrow. My spirit depths in me were thirsting for thee. Have you ever had this experience? This? When way down deep in your spirit, and it's usually during the night time, not only trials, but night, darkness, that the Lord will wake us up, and way down deep within, we'll long for that deliverance, or we'll long for that fellowship with the Lord that we haven't never had before, but we want a deeper fellowship with him. We want a deeper relationship with him. This is what he's talking about here. Praise the Lord. So their deliverance is going to be dependent on the name Jehovah, their covenant-keeping God. They longed for the morning. They wanted it to come. I'll finish reading this in this other translation. I long for the dawning thy presence will bring. What a day. For when on the earth thy judgments are striking, then only its dwellers will righteousness learn. There's another scripture about the morning. That's precious, and I didn't have time to look it up. But let's go over to Malachi, the fourth chapter. Get to studying. Glenn had to remind me it's time to get ready today. Got to studying all this. Malachi, and I want to, of course, it's the last book in the Old Testament, and the last chapter of the Old Testament. And I want to read from the first verse. For behold, the day cometh, and this is the day of judgment, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. Do you believe this? We know it, don't we? Look at all the people out there that are in this condition. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, this is the remnant, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. They'll be nurtured and fed as calves in the stall are. When he comes, he'll come from the east and bring a ray of hope. The sun always comes up from the east. Well, this S-U-N will also. He'll rise with healing in his wings, and he will cause this remnant to grow up as calves in the stall. They'll be nurtured by the Lord. as a calf is nurtured. We just had a new baby calf, and that little calf just, it's the best mama. She just takes care of that little calf, and that little old calf, boy, he knows where to find the food. Well, that's the way with this, these people. They're going to know where their sustenance is going to come from. They're not going to look to any nation at that time. They're going to look unto the Lord. He's going to have revealed himself to them. He's going to come as the Son of Righteousness. It's going to be wonderful. They're going to seek them early, seek thee early, as Isaiah says here. Seek thee early, eagerly or earnestly with a whole heart. Wouldn't you love to see more of God's people seeking him with a whole heart? This has been our longing over the years here, that the Lord will just bring people in that want everything, that want the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this is the purpose that God has in bringing affliction into our lives and in bringing affliction to the remnant. But then we read here, then that the world will learn righteousness. The nations will learn righteousness. It'll be a land and a time when they will have the opportunity to learn what's right and what's honorable. But right in the midst of all of this, there are going to be some who are wicked. And even living in the land of promise, they will still deal unjustly, as we read in that 10th verse. Will not learn righteousness. They do not discern that God is dealing with in judgment and in fire, and they won't even realize this. We see this today, the things that are coming up upon the world, and man doesn't realize that if God's working, that it's the beginning of sorrows, and that's what we're going to read here in a little bit. We're living in the beginning of sorrows. This is a transition time from the age of grace to the kingdom age, as every age has had a transition time. Oh, it's wonderful to know the Word and know that we're living in this time, that we could go home any minute, and that's what we want. But it's this peace that they're seeking so badly for over there in the Middle East, again, will not come until that bridal company is caught up. And then they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. But they will deal unjustly here, the wicked. They'll not learn righteousness. All right? Any questions? It's going to be quite a day, isn't it? During that 1,000 years when man's going to have to submit to the Lord. All right, the 12th verse then. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, and thou also hast wrought all our works, and this should be in the Hebrew for us also. We know he works in us, but this will be something in the Hebrew that be different. He will work for them. Thou wilt ordain or establish peace. That's what he's going to do. It's going to be a work of Jehovah. And he's going to work this peace and bring this peace, and then he's going to work in their lives, everything wrought, as we read here, as well as has wrought all our work for us. The peace and the work all has been of him. Everything that he does for us is of him. We don't have any input into this. Let's read a couple scriptures. Let's go to Psalms 90. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we can say amen to these scriptures. Psalms 90, 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. That beautiful verse. Praise the Lord. Then I want to, you can write Titus 3, 5 down. Paul said to Titus, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Better read it. Can't quote it all. I love this verse. It's one of the first verses I ever learned when we went to Bible school. We had to learn a verse every morning in our prayer meeting. This is one of the first verses I learned. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That washing there is the labor. And what's the labor? It's this word right here. This is the labor. Just as the priest in the tabernacle after he passed the altar of burnt offerings, the labor was right before the curtain that went into the holy place. He washed his hands. And that's what we do. We wash our hands, thank the Lord, and our feet, like Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We get very defiled out in this world, and we have to wash up, don't we? Well, he says here in this next 13th verse, he says, O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. There have been a lot of lords that have had domination over the nation Israel from times past. Nebuchadnezzar being the first. Well, first it was Egypt. When Joseph died, they domineered. They made them slaves. And they've had a lot of lords over them. But in this day, they're going to have just one Lord, and that's going to be wonderful. They've had gods. We know that in Solomon's day, he had what, 1,000 wives, and every one of them had their gods. And these gods rule these nations as well as the lords. They conquered and they rule this nation Israel. And that's what they're trying to do today. And they want this nation to comply to what they want them to do. Well, it's going to be wonderful to watch it. And I love to watch it. All right. Are we ready for it to go on? 14th verse, they are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. These lords, they've perished. These nations and empires have crumbled. We don't see them today. They've gone. And this nation too is going to be gone. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far into all the lands of the earth. Or this in the margin is, thou hast enlarged all the borders of the land. This is the land of Israel. In contrast to these other nations that have been that have crumbled, this nation is going to be increased. God is going to do it. Lord, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. This is precious. These verses 16 through 18, they describe the agonies and the supplications of the godly remnant during the time of the Antichrist. Let's read them. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon thee. It's interesting in this 16th verse. I want to read it out of this other rendition. In their affliction, Jehovah, they sought thee, poured out their prayer in whispering words. I like that. It speaks of their timidity, that they're going to begin to call upon the Lord in their timidity as one that is just beginning to pray. This remnant's going to have to learn to pray. This nation, these Jewish people that have been so rebellious and so stubborn, the Lord's going to break them down and bring them to a point that they're going to begin to whisper prayer. Isn't that something? It's going to be marvelous. So this 16th verse in this other rendition, in their affliction, Jehovah, they sought thee, poured out their prayer in whispering words when thy chastisement was on them. And I'll read back in the King James, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pains, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, and they are now. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. They can't accomplish anything. They have all these meetings, but yet they can't bring forth anything that's viable. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Quite a place, and this is where they are today. They realize they cannot deliver themselves. This is the place the Lord is going to bring them. They're going to be utterly helpless. And as we said, this all is a description here in these verses of the agonizing and the supplications that this remnant is going to have during the time of the Antichrist. In Matthew 24, we mentioned earlier that it's the beginning of sorrows. Travail is mentioned there in Matthew. It's the beginning of their travail. Their anguish and their toil Everything they're doing today is of no avail. And I think of that in Psalms, the second Psalm. The Lord brings this verse to mind. When I see these nations gathered, these people gathered together, these leaders, in Psalms 2, why do the heathen or the nations rage or assemble tumultuously? And the people imagine a vain thing, and that, as we brought out so many times, this it means that this vain thing is they're trying to have peace without the Lord. And they can't make it. They cannot have peace without him. The kings of the earth set themselves, and aren't they today? And the rulers take counsel together? That's what they're doing against the Lord. They don't know they're doing it against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They don't want the triune God to have control over them. But he has, whether they know it or not. That's what's going on now. At this very time, this is going on. That's how close we are to this time. No. They're wicked. They don't know him. Many of these people don't even know these scriptures. They don't know the Lord's up there. Even the Jewish people don't know him. They turned their backs on him when he was here. They crucified him. They rejected him. And they didn't believe the apostles when they told him. When Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, they didn't believe him. They've chosen to not believe. Right, right. They don't want to know. They want to reign. They want to figure this out themselves so they can have the glory and make the peace. And the Lord's not going to let them. I'm thankful. He's jealous, isn't he? He wants to do this work for this nation that he came to his own and his own received it not. He's their brother. He's one of their own in the natural. This 19th verse. The dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. I'm going to read this out of the 19th verse. Thy dead men shall live. My dead bodies. Notice there's God talking here. My dead bodies arise. Awake and rejoice, ye dwellers in dust. For thy dew is the dew of the dawning, and earth shall cast out the dead. What a verse. Thy dead shall live here. They will be restored spiritually and nationally, where the other nations are not going to come forth. The only nation that's going to come forth as a nation is Israel. There will be individuals out of other nations, but Israel is the only nation that's going to be a nation. All the other nations will come in as of Israel, as a new creation. Of course, then they will be a new creation too. And I like that, my dead bodies arise. And then he says, awake and rejoice, in this other translation. Awake and rejoice, ye dwellers in the earth. This is the authority that God has given, has been given over the burial ground of the dead. He's going to cause all these dead bodies to come forth. Won't that be something when cemeteries are emptied? And what a day that's going to be. Let's go to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Praise the Lord. We can hardly imagine what it's going to be like down here during the millennium. And we're not told much about what it's going to be like in eternity. I don't think the Lord and we could really comprehend what it's going to be like. Daniel 12 and the second verse. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt or abhorrence. There's the two, the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked in that verse. They shall arise, and this word arise here in our lesson tonight in this 19th verse means they'll stand up again, is what he's talking about. Thank the Lord. I want to go over to Ezekiel. Let's go over there and read. 37th chapter. This 36th chapter is marvelous too. I was reading some of it today, but the 37th chapter talks about these dead bones. Notice in our study chapter, he says here, for them to live, the dead men shall live. Well, this is what we have mentioned so often in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. This chapter is the nation resurrected. I want to just read a few verses. We'll start with the first verse. The hand of the Lord was upon me, upon Ezekiel and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Notice how many times the word live here is mentioned. Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Ezekiel didn't know. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now he's speaking to the nation Israel. This is this remnant. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath or spirit to enter into you, and ye shall live. There's that, they live again. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He obeyed, didn't he? These prophets did everything the Lord wanted them to do, except Jonah. He got a little sidetracked. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise or a thundering, and behold, a shaking or an earthquake, and the bones came together, bone to bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them from above. Notice where it came from. The Lord gave them bodies, but there was no breath in them or spirit. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. What is the Holy Spirit compared to in the word? The wind? So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Isn't that marvelous? Oh my, all of that is wonderful. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our part. Or this means they're cut off from the source of power and left to themselves. And they will be. They're going to have to call upon the Lord. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. He began doing this in the 40s. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. And then he has, and he's still doing it. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, has spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Wonderful there. So Israel, this long-buried nation that has been in every country in the world, is coming back now into this land. And the Lord is going to awake her during the tribulation, and he tells her to awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Isn't that marvelous? He's going to bring them forth then, as the dew is, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead, or bring to shade his